Mother, man.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal Fucking A. What's up, Chris?
I'm feeling a little awkward because it's not fucking Tuesday.
It is. It is Monday. It's weird doing the podcast on a Monday, but we're versatile over
here. Yes, we are. And we're going to fucking kill it tonight.
We are. We are going to kill it. We're doing episode 48, dude. It's fucking crazy. We're almost
that 50 mark, man. That 50 mark.
It's going to be badass. Having a little celebration here, which we're going to talk about at some point, I'm sure, tonight. And then the week after that, we'll be doing the 1 year anniversary.
How fucking crazy is that? It's that close.
Yeah, it is. April 11th was the first episode posted last year. So we're getting there pretty close. So that's fucking cool. We got a guest, last minute special guest.
Yeah, my your faggot brother. Ass brother.
Oh, come on now.
What?
We've had Michael on the show before, but of course that was back when we started upstairs in bedroom. So now that we've got a real studio, Michael, good to have you in here, buddy.
Good to be here, Pete. That's good awesome. To see you.
Of course, you had a little cameo in here. We did a commercial, which you're on tonight.
Yeah, your commercial's on tonight.
DC Snipers Home Protection.
So. Another sponsor that we got.
That's right. That's right. So it's good to have you here, bud. And definitely talking about some fucked up shit tonight with episode, we're doing episode 48. Last week, though, was badass with the chessboard killer.
Dude, Pachushkin.
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 Yeah, that
was a sick fuck, man.
I mean, seriously. Fucked up. I mean, throwing people down fucking wells. No. Shawcross. I almost said Shawback. Shawcross is definitely fucked up. But yeah, the chessboard killer, the Russian, if you missed that.
We were drinking some vodka, celebrating Russian style.
That's right. Yeah. So we had a good time in here doing that last week. So if you missed it, go check out episode 47 and you can hear that. And then we also had CK talking some Sanctuary and Nevermore, some Seattle bands, but metal, not the grunge crap. And so it was good to talk to him about that kind of stuff. Increases our metal IQ over here because yes, he's the fucking man.
He's like the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Young
kids don't know what Encyclopedia Britannica is, Google it.
Yeah, Google it. Yeah, I was going to say there's probably kids listening. What the fuck is an encyclopedia? We also put a little twist on the Killer Cage match, which was fun. We're going to do that again tonight with a little variable there. Another crazy animal thrown into the fucking cage is going to be pretty wicked. So, this week's a good one.
Just a little bit.
So if you missed last week, like I said, go back, check out episode 47. Now we're on episode 48. We've got a sick bastard.
New York, man.
Upstate New York, up there by the Canadian border. Arthur Shawcross. One of my favorites because he's just so fucking deranged, man. I mean,
isn't it weird when you talk about serial killers? You're like, it's one of my favorite ones, dude. Yeah.
When, of course, we've talked about this before. When we say that, we mean just that it's the like, story
the
is so intriguing and interesting.
Dude.
By no means are we celebrating these fucking pieces
that.
Of shit, you know. But I did want to specify it's Shawcross, not Shawback. So I just want to be real clear. Kin.
Like yesterday when we came in, when dad came in,
he
looked at the fucking whiteboard. It says Shawcross. He looks at it like, what the fuck is that?
I know. He did say that, and I thought that was funny. And I never put that together.
Right, right.
Until he said that. I'm like, that is really weird.
Right, the names Shawcross, not Shawback.
Yeah, right.
So that is kind of crazy. But he is definitely in my top 10 of the most depraved, fucked up individuals. The whole killing prostitutes thing, throwing fucking bodies around the river there.
He's on that Ted Bundy shit.
Yeah, like, going back and visiting the corpse.
But that was before Ted Bundy, too. So Ted Bundy was on some Shawcross shit.
Yeah, Shawcross is fucked up from way back. But then the whole cannibalism thing and the cutting the vaginas and all that. Yeah, yeah.
We'll talk about good stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
The old Genesee River killer.
Yeah, big time. Now, we got our buddy CK calling on Skype to talk about some more metal because that's what he does. Now, which one are we going to do tonight?
Wait, which one?
Which one is CK going to talk about?
Oh, we're doing Bolt Thrower tonight.
Fucking Bolt Thrower, man. Some UK death metal.
One of the first bands out of the UK to do death metal.
Yeah.
Like he said, Benediction as well. So, like, fucking right. Boom.
Yeah, so it's going to be cool to talk about that. I've been a fan for Bolt Thrower for a long time. And they only toured the U.S. once. I didn't get to see them, but they've got a very strong underground following, not a band that a lot of metalheads even know about.
Right.
And if they know about them, they've never heard them. They just heard the name. It's kind of a strange name.
I was actually just jamming some yesterday, dude.
It's fucking sick, dude.
It's fucking...
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Death metal, dude.
Yeah, it's badass.
And as a disclaimer, I'd like to say that me and Pete did have to fucking record our CK shit.
Right.
While Michael wasn't here.
That's right.
I had a conflict of scheduling times. So.
Right. So we had to pre-tape the CK stuff.
Right. So when you hear Michael talking and then all of a sudden he's not there, I didn't kill him.
Yeah, that's right. He comes back. He'll come back at the end and talk some mayhem with us. So yeah, Michael drops out in the metal segment and then continues with the mayhem.
CK tells you about Bolt Thrower for sure.
Yeah. Now, I went to that Queensryche Fates Warning show last week, so we'll talk a little bit about that. I had a really good time. Also, we got another Killer Cage match coming up.
Yes.
We did the variable last week, which was the Hive of Wasps. Yeah.
And they won.
And the Wasps won because, like we said, you're getting stung and fucking tore up.
They're both going to die.
So this week, it'll be interesting with the variable we got this week. But thank you to listeners Angela Porter Bays and Eric McIntosh for providing the random numbers.
Thank you, lady and gentlemen.
Yes, and D.D. Dale Berry for the random variable number. So we got a good one this time with Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh fucking going at it with that Australian motherfucker.
Yeah, fucking David Burney, man.
Yeah, he's pretty fucked up. I mean, Australia is not known for their... like we are, but of course, Catherine Knight, that trumps just about all, man. That bitch was
Monsters Who Murder. Go check it out, man.
Yeah. And Amanda from, Monsters Who Murder talked about David Burney and actually conversed with him. But anyway, he's going up against Timothy McVeigh, so that should be an interesting one. A couple of objects and our variable. It should get pretty fucking crazy.
It'll be all right.
Yeah.
And also coming up in the Mayhem segment, I think Michael and Pete might have a little discussion about some Deserve shit.
Yeah, because I've been fucking with him pretty good in the last couple episodes, so it's funny.
It's funny. That
Michael came in to talk about this, so this should be really funny.
Yeah, and Michael's got a story, so get ready for this one.
Yeah, it's going to be good. We've got a few interviews that we've been doing, more coming up. The one we played part of last week, the Stoltzcraft one, was cool. And the whole interview was released as its own bonus episode. So if you want to check it out. That.
Their artwork's great and it's fucking awesome. Check them out. Find them on Facebook for sure.
Yeah, because they got some events coming up so you can go actually see them. This week we're going to play part of the interview we did with the guys from Big Bad Hogs Barbecue, which was fun. Those guys are great. Right. Of course, they're going to be catering the 50th episode party we're having here, sir. So that's going to be
and
badass.
And one of the members is going to be playing music.
That's right. That's right. Mike, Big Mike, drummer for Event of Collapse. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun with some good friends and having a good time celebrating 50 episodes.
And we will have video footage and all kinds of shit for you guys to check out. Like, these guys are fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We have the bands in here and playing, and we're going to video and record everything. It's going to be really fucking kick ass. Shout out to the last minute sponsors that we mentioned, DC Snipers Home Protection, man. Those guys wanted to sponsor the show, so we put a little commercial together for them very quickly. And so give it a listen later in the podcast.
Thank you for doing a voiceover for us, Michael.
That's
no
right,
problem,
Michael.
Anytime.
Yeah, you sounded great on there. So it's just a fucking... a talent, just that voice talent. You maybe have a future in that.
Nah, kind of doubt it.
Go to Pixar, man. Go to Pixar.
There you go. I'm good.
You hear his voice and some kids. That'd be like perverted as fuck, man. Like, you'd know that it's Michael and it's like this little chipmunk or something.
It's like, hey, man, look. I'm going to tell you what. He may act all tough and mean, but when it comes to his nieces and shit, he's a big old teddy bear.
Well, I'm sure. Not wrong on that. I did let him braid my hair from time to time.
Right?
No, it's all good, of course. But so we got DC Snipers Home Protection sponsoring. And then speaking of sponsors, we got a deal in the works. It's very exciting. Should be finalized.
And
hopefully.
This is a legit one.
This is legit by the end of the week. It's a very cool company online that deals in serial killer merch. So how perfect is that? And the guys are interested in sponsoring the podcast.
Been talking with them and everything. Yeah, everything so, seems like it's going good. So yeah. Once it's totally finalized and everything,
yeah,
we'll let you know.
Yeah. Right now we're not 100%, but it looks really good. So, and it'll be very kick-ass for sure. Sounds like we got a lot to feast on tonight. I think I hear the rush of the water. I'm not sure what it is. Might be that Genesee River calling, the rod of a few dozen dead prostitutes.
A couple dead prostitutes.
Hanging in
the
air.
They weren't all prostitutes.
Well, most of them
most
were.
Most of them were.
About 90%
not
of them.
Not the first two.
Not the
that's
first
right.
two.
Yeah, that's fucked up. So I think it's time to do some...
let's get our murder on, homie.
Fuck yeah.
Illusions, exiles, dispossessed. Your soul seeks freedom and left a bandit.
Fucking New Misery Index,
oh,
dude.
God, that
shit's
so
fucking
heavy.
Good. I hadn't
it
heard
is.
That before.
It's so fucking badass. I love that album. That song is called The Choir Invisible. Oh my God. Fucking Adam Jarvis behind that
so
drum set
heavy,
is
dude.
Absolutely ridiculous, man. So... we're going to talk about that in the metal segment.
Yes, we will.
But, of course, right now we're doing some murdering. We got Artie Shawcross, man, known as the Genesee River Killer, for his murderous rampage against prostitutes in upstate Rochester, New York, during the late 80s. So he would have been just after Bundy, actually, like on the heels
like,
of Bundy.
Like right,
so.
Off, right after him, yeah.
100%. Yeah, so maybe somewhat inspired. I don't know.
Exactly, like the fucking chessboard freaking
with Chickatillo. Yeah, man. Hard to say. Like I never read anything like that, but there are some similarities with him going back and
exactly, yeah.
That kind of stuff. So who knows? But he was confessed and found guilty only for 11, but they think he killed quite a few more. Definitely dark and fucking twisted
shit. Does
that
11 count the first two?
I don't think so because
think
he was
so.
He wasn't found.
Oh, not on murder, exactly.
Right,
we'll get into that.
Yeah,
because
that's
a
totally different deal,
so
which adds
up,
to the fucked upness of this whole
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
Definitely some very fucked up sexual abuse at home. Some really gruesome shit in
from
fucking Vietnam. Again, some conflicting stuff, which we're definitely going to get into. Because we see that a lot. You know, these guys like Henry Lee Lucas.
Talking all these
just
stories.
Just going
and
on and on. And
then they're like, no, that didn't fucking happen.
But. And Henry Lee, by the way, will be on our 1-year anniversary show. Yes, Henry Lee Lucas. Fucking psyched
dun,
for that.
Dun, dun.
But, you know.
I broke my eye out.
Please don't. So it's a nasty one for sure. Some pretty gruesome details. So. You know that listening to Murder Metal Mayhem. I always laugh when podcasts do like a warning.
We don't do it.
We don't need a warning because if you hear that intro and me screaming at the top of my fucking lungs about murder, metal, and mayhem, I think you know.
That's probably what you're going to get.
That's what you're going to get. There's no
what do you
like.
Think, you Michael? Know, what do you think?
I mean, I already obviously knew what was going to happen the first
like
time I listened
YouTube
to
fucks.
It. Yeah, it's YouTube fuckers. But. Had I not known.
Yeah, I think it's kind of obvious.
But. Yeah, I probably would have been like, yeah, these two fucking idiots are going to be all right.
Now, he was born in May 1945, the oldest of four kids into a middle-class household. So, seemingly, you know, on the surface, at least pretty normal. They moved to Watertown, New York, which is upstate. When you're from that area, and I'm from there, upstate and the city. The city, of course, meaning New York City, and pretty much everything else is upstate. Oh. But this is like way the fuck up there, like almost in Canada. So it's very upstate New York. All right,
cool. I didn't. Yeah,
and didn't that's like a common term. That's why I want to make sure, you know, like the
but
local.
But it's literally
lingo.
Upstate.
It's
like
way
it's
the fuck
north
up there.
Fucking,
Yeah, way up there. But, you know, most people when they hear New York, they think of the city. But this is very rural. Very woodsy, mountainous. It's nothing like you would think.
Exactly.
We get that with Chicago.
Exactly, yeah, we do. Michael. Like, totally. No, tell somebody you're from Illinois when you're out of state.
Right.
They're like, oh, you're in Chicago? It's like, right. No. I'm from the cornfields, yeah. Man.
There's like beans and corn all around
me. That's all I have.
Right. So it's definitely an easy misnomer. People just associate New York with the city.
Right.
And what we're talking about is not that at all. Kind of like for us here, Southern Illinois is so much different than where we are, and then we're so much different than Chicago.
We're like the, and with baseball, dude, where we're at,
right?
With the Cubs and the Cardinals, we're like the Mason-Dixon line,
big time. Yeah, like, when I moved here, I noticed that too. Like, there's some pretty
no offense, but screw all you Cardinal fans.
So yeah, the Cubs Cards is a good rivalry here, and like you said, we're like right on that line.
Exactly,
a lot of mixed. Fans of both here, but my dad used to hunt deer up there in upstate New York. We used to go up and cut down our Christmas tree every year on this farm that he hunted on, and so like it's a popular place for people that like the outdoors that are from the city that kind of escape up there.
That area,
yeah, the Catskill Mountains up through there is really nice. Now, as a child, Shawcross was tested at a very low IQ of 86. Which is borderline for being considered like intellectually disabled, right?
Right.
At the time, they were still using the term mentally retarded. That was, you know, at that time a common term. Now, strangely, later when he enlisted in the Army, they tested him at 105. And when he was discharged, he got a 108. And during his trial, he was tested and he got a 107. So, for you know, he seemed to, you know, increase his IQ as he got older. Kind of weird. But apparently he did have some moderate intelligence, just possibly didn't do well on the test as a kid. And I'm thinking, too, you know, there's probably different types of tests, different way it's scored. I mean, who the hell knows, right? So he went from being like kind of borderline intellectually disabled to having some moderate intelligence.
Right. Or maybe he just like looked at the questions or whatever. He's like,
Yeah, and he was a kid, too.
I answered this time or whatever. And like you said, different tests.
As yeah, you get I'm older, sure the child's IQ test is not
way different
be the
than
same.
The adult's. Like, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, he was a frequent bedwetter, and we've talked about this before, that whole McDonald's triad. Triad,
yeah.
Bedwetting, fire starting, and cruelty to animals. The bedwetting in the later
Michael's over there
years.
Going, because he still fucking pisses the bed.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Like Gary Heidnik.
Only when I'm super, super, super drunk. That's usually one night of hanging out with you.
Oh, great. Nice.
So I can't hang out with you anymore, Chris.
So, yeah, years later, his second wife claimed he was obsessed with starting fires. And the Army psychiatrist he was with said he got sexual pleasure from starting fires. So definitely the triad sounds like it's dead on with this fucker, you know?
I mean, it's all right there.
Yeah.
Like, setting fires and getting a boner, you're fucking, you like fire a lot.
A little bit.
Every time, don't get me wrong, I like having fires. I'm happy about it. But anything I like set on fire structure-wise, I'm like, oh, fuck. I gotta fix this. I almost caught our house on fire once.
Asshole.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I was a kid. I'm mowing the yard. The lawnmower ran out of gas, so I'm dumping gas in it. It's an old push mower, so you know how small the gas tanks are and shit.
Right.
Overspilled some, and it got on the fucking sidewalk where I was filling, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to light this gas on fire. I lit it on fire. Fire started to go out, so I just fucking dumped some more gas on it, caught the whole gas can on fire. I'm like, oh, shit. So I flung it, and it flung on the side of the house and shit.
Oh, no way.
I'm fucking running in the house, dude, fucking just grabbing the whatever. I fucking get this bucket of water. And my mom is like, what
mad.
The fuck are you
mom
doing? I'm like, nothing. I'm like, I'm not doing nothing. I just need this water. She comes outside, the side of the house is up. I got it out.
Mom was mad.
I guess that's all that matters. But Maback was mad.
Yes, she was. Sorry to interrupt. That just popped in my head.
Dad was mad, too.
Now, Shawcross makes some pretty bold, fucked up claims about his childhood that his mother firmly denies. So it's hard to say who the hell's telling the truth here.
Right.
But he claims his mother would shove things into his ass. Broomsticks and shit. Broomsticks and stuff. And later, when he's under hypnosis, he says she put a broomstick up his butt. So, kind of disturbing. He also claimed that his mother gave him oral sex starting at age 9, and a woman who he thought was his aunt, but later found out it was his mother's girlfriend. So this sounds like a fucking Springer episode.
God damn.
Big time. Yeah, would also give him oral, and he performed oral on her. And then later, he claims he frequently performed oral sex and intercourse on his two sisters and a female cousin.
Oh, Jesus.
So sounds like some fucked up, like pussy eating school going on here. I don't know.
It's like some motherfucking shit.
Maybe they were trying to teach him for when he got a wife. I don't know.
You're gonna have to pleasure your woman, right, boy? Come here.
I mean, it's just some crazy shit. So I mean, pretty outlandish stuff. Yeah. So you know, you don't know if he's just making it up. The mother's denying it, but what is she going to say? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was sucking my kid's dick when he was 9. Yeah,
so, I mean, it's just fucking disturbing, you know?
This is going to get her in trouble, so who knows?
Now, we don't normally play audio clips, but I thought this would be kind of cool and disturbing because you're going to hear his voice. But I've got a clip.
Under hypnosis?
Yeah, I've got a clip of him under hypnosis, and he's talking about his mother, and it's kind of disturbing. So I'll go ahead and play that here real quick.
What are you doing now? What's happening? What are you doing now? Art, why are you holding your penis? Art, what's happening?
Mom.
What's happening? What is Mommy doing?
Mom's got me.
Mom has got you now? What is she doing?
Playing.
Okay, and what's happening?
Kissing me.
And what's happening? Why are you crying, Mom?
It hurts.
What hurts, Mom?
She squeezed me.
And what do you say to Mommy? What do you say to her?
I don't know.
What do you say?
Stop. Stop. No.
What did your mother do?
My mother gave me oral sex. She performed oral sex on me for several years. Then when I was 14 years old, I did intercourse, and I ran away. I put a note on my pillow in my bedroom. I'm going to Syracuse, and I turned around and went to Canada. I just didn't want to go home.
Because you were being abused?
Yes, sir, I was.
That's some fucked up shit,
man. A little bit. He was under hypnosis there, supposedly. Again, you know, we don't know. There was a doctor there with him asking him those questions. So, pretty fucked up. What do you think, Michael? I mean, that's pretty fucking disturbing, man.
Dude, I mean, if he was actually hypnotized, that is very fucked up.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
He just faked it.
And if he faked it, then.
Yeah, and I don't know how easy it is to fake that. I have no idea.
Yeah, right. Yeah, me either.
So, I really can't say. Now, he was known as a bully in school, frequently acting out, very violent. As a young student, he was known for being very strange, hiding under the teacher's desk.
Now, how weird is that?
Yeah, very
weird.
You
think he was trying to fucking, he was hiding
getting
there?
Getting an upskirt or something?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly my point.
It's very possible.
He was hiding under there, hoping maybe the teacher wouldn't notice, and he's just like, yeah, there's that pussy.
Especially if he's all about eating pussy. I mean, he might. Right. I don't know.
Eating pussy?
Little Joey Manga. So, you know, it's just very disturbing. It sounds like he turned it around, though, and then started becoming the aggressor. And being the one picking on other kids, dropped out of high school at 1960 at age 15. So
I had to wait till I was 16 to drop out of high school. What the fuck?
He got out a year before you, but he was drafted, though, in 1967 in the Army during the Vietnam War. He was 21, recently divorced, and he gave up the rights to his infant son. He never saw that kid again, ever, dude. Yeah.
Which is fucked up, man.
It is.
Because I love my kids.
I know. I don't know how people do that because I love my kids as well.
I guess when you do the shit he did, he didn't.
I don't even have kids, but I couldn't do that.
Well, yeah, but you're good with kids, though, too.
I couldn't do that.
You're like
anyway.
The fun uncle, you know, the crazy fucking uncle.
Michael's only had 12 abortions this week.
No.
Now, he did serve one tour in Vietnam, and he makes some pretty fucking crazy, you know, has some crazy stories about what he did, and we're going to get into that here in a minute, but some pretty fucked up crazy shit.
Really fucked up crazy shit.
Yeah. Now, some feel he made the stories up, or at least embellished a little bit.
And when the army came back, they, yeah.
Yeah, there was some. There's some questions there. Now, he you wonder if he did this to make, because he claimed insanity when he was on trial. Right,
trying to
so,
sensationalize himself.
Yeah,
not
he might have.
PTSD or some shit.
Yeah,
right?
He might have really tried to play up the insanity thing by saying, yeah, exactly. I was in Vietnam, I saw this fucked up shit. You can't really prove I didn't, you know, that type of thing.
Tell me I didn't.
Now, he claims he hunted down Viet Cong in the Central Highlands, which was where a lot of activity was during that time. Fiercest fucking shit over there. He said that he captured females who were prostitutes or helping the enemy, tortured them.
There was the two. Put their, he had the did, one.
Didn't he put their heads on spikes?
Yeah. And he had one like alive and he cut
tied
the other one's head off
whatever,
or something and started eating
head.
Parts
exact,
off her.
Dude,
and the other girl like freaked out.
And that's what he says. But dude, I don't care. If your head comes up with that story, dude,
yeah.
You're pretty fucked anyway.
I think I saw that the army.
What are you saying? I write fucked up stories.
Hi, Pete.
Yeah, I guess you just called me out as being really fucked up, because I would admit I am fucked up
yes,
to come up with the crazy shit. What do you got, Michael?
I think I saw that, didn't the army come back and say he never even saw combat?
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that when they talked to his one of his commanders over there, he was a supply clerk.
Supply clerk. He was Klinger.
So, yeah,
radar.
So I mean,
he was Klinger
guys
or
like
radar.
That are usually yeah. not hunting down Viet Cong
right.
in the jungle. So it is very far-fetched. So there's a lot of discrepancies there. He can't name anybody. Like, they were asking him, like, who were people you served with? Like, people that you served with, you remember them for fucking ever.
Right.
How do you not remember anybody's name that you served with so that they could follow up with these people? But
and he claimed he had, like, 40 or 50-some confirmed kills, and the army's
yeah.
like, no,
yeah.
he didn't.
And another thing that's kind of crazy, he claims that he slept in a lead-lined footlocker to protect himself from night attacks and ambushes and shit. And also, he said somebody cooked food out of something that was lined
what?
With lead. Now, in my day job, I deal with environmental shit, and fucking lead exposure is like
I was
really
just
fucking
gonna
bad.
Say, yeah, I know, I was just going to say, that was his fucking problem. He slept in fucking lead, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
lead.
Gonna fuck your head up.
Right, especially the cooking part, because when it's airborne and you're
shit.
Breathing the shit in, it's fucked up. And that definitely can cause brain damage, nervous issues, nerve system disorders,
right.
all sorts of things. It's worse with kids or pregnant women, but adults have also adverse effects, and it's not good, you know.
Yeah, that's why there's that joke, fucking, did you eat paint chips when you were a kid?
Exactly, that's why,
like,
right?
Like, literally.
Right. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that claim that that's why the fucking Romans went fucking imploded, because they were drinking their wine with lead in it and made it sweeter. And they think that that was one of the reasons they went a little fucking Looney Tunes. Because they were drinking this lead fucking laced wine
yeah,
for
makes
years.
Sense.
So who knows?
It's like Flint water.
Right. Whether that really was a cause or part of it, who knows, right? But I think all these things added up definitely made him a fucked up individual. I did see, you know, like we were talking about the Vietnam stuff, then they talked to people, and it does seem like it's you know, either totally made up or very exaggerated. Because he doesn't have a job as a supply clerk
and
going
go out
on
fucking
patrols.
Kill. No, definitely.
About the most the guys, you know, having, when I was in the Army, the only time you saw in the field, when you saw guys from supply, they usually made them drive the food. Like when we ate, the supply guys would run chow out and we would eat and then they'd bring the shit back. So you could see a little
like
action if you got ambushed or something.
It's straight up radar from MESH.
Totally.
Like
yeah.
straight
yes.
up radar or cleaner
yes.
after radar left. Like
yes.
straight up that.
Yes. So, you know, that's the thing is.
Yeah, I use a MASH reference.
I love
it's all
MASH.
Right. MASH is awesome.
I love MASH.
4077 forever, baby.
Now, after he's discharged from the Army, he moves back to New York. His second wife divorces him. I wonder why. He begins to commit arson and burglaries. He's caught, sentenced 5 years in Attica, which is not a nice place.
Yeah.
Also upstate New York. Some of you may have heard of Attica from the brutal riots in 71, which is what you were just referring to, where 33 convicts and 10 guards were killed. So it was in Attica that he claimed he was raped by three black inmates. He said he exacted revenge on each of them separately, beating them up and raping them. So now he's moved from, you know, oral with females to sodomy.
I'm going to sodomize.
So he is fucking, like, all of the above here.
How do you go into prison and be the boss?
Beat up like the biggest dude, I guess.
Yeah.
Beat up and rape him. That's how you do it.
So, it's fucked up. So I was thinking, instead of an eye for an eye, that more sounds like an anus for an anus.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So,
hell yeah.
I mentioned before that my dad was a parole officer in New York during the late 70s and into the early 90s when he retired. He spent some time up in Attica training, but that would have been after the riots. But he did work at a few prisons where Shawcross actually spent some time, but I did not get a chance to ask him if he had ever run into him as a client.
That would have been pretty cool, dude.
That would have been pretty fucked up. He did have Son of Sam as a client for a very short period of time.
Your dad had Son of Sam?
Really?
Berkowitz was one of your dad's fucking...
Well, what happened in New York, just like here, where they go to Joliet, and then they get sent wherever they want to go.
It's like a hub prison, basically.
Right. My dad worked at two prisons in the bulk of his time working for the prison system. He worked for two prisons across the street from each other. One's a women's and one's a men's. The women's prison, Bedford Hills, is a triple max.
At the time was the only
female prison that was triple max. So they had inmates that were like flight risks and shit like that.
Right.
They had Pamela Smart. Yeah, Pamela Smart, the one that had the student killed her husband.
Yeah,
TV special.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Amy Fisher, the whole Joey Buttafuoco. Hey. So. He had a few famous clients there, but across the street was the hub, as you referred to, prison, where they would go before they got sent somewhere. So he only had Berkowitz when he was
there. Just for a short time while he was there,
and then he got sent somewhere else.
But still, he's got Berkowitz on it. Like,
yeah,
what the fuck?
He dealt with some pretty fucked up people. Now, so I'm hearing that at dinner conversation. And then my mom was a legal secretary. And if you remember from the Wood Chipper Love episode, she worked for the lawyer that the woman, Hella Crafts, went to try to get divorced and all that. And they were the ones that actually called the police when she didn't show up for her appointment. So between my dad and my mom in the dinner conversations, it's no wonder.
It's no wonder your fucking
head's right. I like true crime.
Exactly.
So definitely. So that's if you missed that, that's our second episode. That's going back a ways. A whole year.
Almost a year, almost man. Year.
To Wood Chipper Love. You got to check that one out if you missed it. Now, he was released early, returned to his hometown of Watertown. This is where shit gets fucked up.
This is where it gets super fucked up.
Because he gets married a third time, so he's just getting married like a motherfucker. Wasn't long after that in 1972.
How is he finding these women to marry the psychopath?
I know, right? He rapes and kills a 10-year-old boy, Jack Blake. And then 4 months later, rapes and murders an 8-year-old girl, Karen Ann Hill. Now, he's arrested, and he confesses and everything.
His plea agreement's fucking stupid.
Dude, I heard about this, too. Jesus Christ.
He agreed to show him where Jack's body was in exchange for
manslaughter
for the girl and nothing for Jack.
Nothing for the boy. He showed him where the body was. He knew where the body was.
Could you imagine being his parents and finding out he got nothing for that? I mean, that's fucking insane.
That's one of those
things where you kill shit.
Yeah, that's one of those times where you might want to go kill that dude.
That movie? That's a time to kill.
Well, yeah, and like, you got to imagine the public was just going fucking nuts. I mean, this is just outrageous.
If he had gotten what he should have got for that, none of what he does afterwards
would
have
ever fucking
happened.
That's a good
point. That's
just like Gacy. They said when Gacy died or was executed, that was about within a month of when he would have got released in Iowa had he served his whole fucking time.
Right.
So all that would have never happened. So same here. If they would have fucking done what they should have done,
and
motherfucker would have been in prison and women
just life in prison, not anywhere.
Yeah, so it's fucked up. He only got a 25-year sentence, and he was sent to Greenhaven, where my dad used to work too.
Right,
1987.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
After 14 years, he was given early release from prison. So 14 years is all he served for killing those two kids.
Killing and raping.
And raping.
And yeah, raping.
It's fucking horrible. Despite psychiatrists saying Shawcross was a schizoid psychopath, met with resistance. They said
don't let him out.
Yeah.
He needs to stay here and they let him out.
Right. Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's fucked up. And, you know, so he moves to these towns, and these people
don't want him. Every town.
They no, I would have ran him out, too.
I can't remember the names
of
the
towns. I would have ran his ass out, too.
There's a bunch of them.
Like, there was one of the towns. Even the mayor was part of the fucking mob coming right up to his fucking house.
Like, yeah, that's like old school.
Yeah, like...
Like McElroy shit.
Yeah. We're fucking vigilante justice shit. Had and when you got the mayor on your back...
He had to go, man. It's like, time to leave, man.
I'm out of here, bro.
Yeah, so they wound up... He wound up running basically to Rochester, which is up there by the Canadian border, as we said. Now, another disturbing thing to note, I thought this was so fucked up. One of his ex-wives later said that Shawcross was only able to perform sexually if she cuddled him like a baby before they had sex.
That's fucked up.
That's fucking weird.
I mean...
That's fucked up.
I mean, people are into some weird shit, but I mean, what the fuck? I mean, seriously. I mean,
don't get me wrong. people have their fetishes.
Right, but that's God just damn, really odd.
But I have seen them fucking stupid fucking videos where these fucking chicks are in this giant crib wearing a diaper. And fucking,
yeah, that's...
Dang! I'm like, are you fucking serious? That's what... Like, come on, man. You pedophile-looking motherfucker.
Yeah, that's fucking disturbing. On. Now, 1988... He begins the murder spree that he's best known for. He begins to frequent prostitutes, despite being married a fourth time. So he's found four fucking women.
Again. How is he finding these fucked up women that he's going to marry this fucking psychopath?
He must be a fucking stud.
He's got Michael, away with the women.
I guess. Now, the seedy Lyle Street district in Rochester is known for sex workers, drugs, and other bad shit going down. The area was hit hard. By the crack epidemic, so they had all sorts of problems up there. March of 88 to December 89, Shawcross was known to have murdered 12 women. All but one was a prostitute. That was the girl that was slow.
Yeah, okay.
Now, in most cases, he strangled them. A couple were beaten with a large stick, kind of random.
Didn't he also... excuse me. Crap, I had a bubble in my throat. Didn't he also, like, get told that he had HIV on a test?
Yeah, he does later that's what he claims, that was why he was going after the prostitutes.
Right, because he thought he got HIV, but then came back.
Yeah, and a lot of people think that was complete bullshit, too. He was just making shit up, I think. Now, the most gruesome was the mentally disabled woman, June Stott, who was cut from the breastbone to the vagina after she was dead. She was the fifth victim, but police knew the killer was definitely fucking stepping it up. Right. And these bodies were coming quick, because this is March 88 to December 89. That's not a lot of time, and he killed
12, something like that.
That's a short time.
Quite a few, almost one a month, so that's kind of fucked up. You know, so and he's starting to cut them after they're dead, and so they know... They're dealing with
nasty too.
They're just dealing with some fucked up shit.
It's funny because there's that Cannibal Corpse song off the Bleeding. It's like, oh, I just cut her from her neck down to her anus, then I cut out her vagina,
and I ate her.
Yeah. Yes. They must have got that from Shawcross.
Because
they're
only
from
imagine.
Buffalo, so that
right.
Be
I
right
can only
up
right.
There is that.
Shawcross.
It might be. Now, he did cover up the bodies in some way, but not completely, so they were easily found along this river up there. It was a big river. Shawcross would also remove the vagina from three of his victims
and
to
eat
chew.
Well, he claimed he ate it.
Right.
I mean, it was gone,
right?
But he claimed he ate it.
Yeah, so. That's what he's claiming. And he would also visit the remains to check on them, get sexual gratification from reliving
the murders. Yeah, he's doing some necrophilia shit.
Yeah. So pretty fucked up. Though he claimed later it wasn't true, he had previously said that he ate the genitals of the little boy up there in Watertown that he raped and murdered. That's fucked.
Which is kind of, that was in the book, because you're fresh off this book.
Yeah,
I've been
I just
reading
finished
stuff
the book.
And watching documentaries and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All the documentaries I watch, he's sitting there like, I'm not talking about what I did there. I'm not talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to play a clip of him saying that here coming up, where he says that he's not going to talk about Watertown.
Right.
Now, while the police are looking for bodies of the missing women in a helicopter, they see a body sticking out of the frozen Genesee River and a car parked near. Now, quick on the Genesee River, my dad used to drink Genesee beer. Nice. And I didn't realize that that's where it was from. But then when I was doing the research, yeah, that's where they make Genesee beer. So I figured that was something near and dear to you.
I like beer.
To beer.
I like beer.
Now, apparently, Shawcross was taking a piss. So
that's what he says.
Right. Outside his car and drove back to his job at the nursing home. But the helicopter tailed him. And police showed up to question him. So
yeah, they were out searching for that chick's body.
Right. And they see this frozen body in this dude's car. It was right there.
80, or whatever year it was, an 80-something Caprice.
Yeah, it was a Caprice, yeah. His prior record for manslaughter definitely, you know, threw up some red flags. And also the fact that he liked to fish.
It wasn't even his car, though.
No, it was his girlfriend.
Yeah, I was going to say. Cheating
on his wife with this other chick, and then he's going to visit prostitutes. So he's a very active guy.
Fuck it, yeah.
I guess.
Oh, these are some nasty bitches.
God damn, I don't know what the hell the deal was with this. He was very strange. But they visited him a few times, and he answered questions. So he didn't seem like reluctant to talk to the cops.
No, he was about it. He was cool. Like,
you know, he was totally cool with it. So they got some of the Rochester prostitutes to say they recognized him as a regular customer on Lyle Avenue. And so police figured whoever the killer was likely a regular that they would have been comfortable with.
It's like, oh, you're here all the fucking time.
Yeah, they called
it
Mitch.
I sucked your dick yesterday twice. I might as well suck it again today. Fuck.
Get paid for it.
He said that somebody said it or called him Mitch, so he just kind of went with it.
They did say that.
So a lot of the girls called him Mitch.
They didn't know what his real name was.
Right. Now, eventually, Shawcross cracked and admitted to killing 11 of the women. He claimed that he thought one of the prostitutes, like you said, gave him AIDS. So his murders were a way to like rid the city of the disease prostitutes.
Revenge for fucking giving me this shit. But then they tested him again and he didn't.
He didn't have it, right.
And they like threw pictures down, like a deck of cards is what they said.
Right.
They were throwing pictures down on the table in front of him. He's like, I did that one, I did that one, I did that one, I did that one.
Yep.
That was just, like, dude, and he's so nonchalant about it.
Oh,
dude.
I know. He's so casual, man. It's fucking crazy to see somebody talking about this and talking about like they're, you know, talking about a card game or a baseball game or something.
Like, we talk about the way we do. He actually did this. He's like, yep. Did it.
Yeah, didn't even give a shit.
That fucking one video, though, is blinking in his eyes.
Yeah, that's like, the interview with a serial killer documentary. Yeah, it's fucked up. Now, in interviews he did from prison, he refused to talk about rape and murder, probably because of the harsh treatment his sex offenders got in prison. So in that Netflix documentary, you could see Shawcross, you know, he refuses to talk about Watertown, like you said, and I'm going to play a clip here now.
Yeah, we got the clip going.
What did you do to young Karen Hill?
I ain't saying. I told you I wouldn't talk about that. I wasn't talking about anything that happened in Watertown.
Why not?
Because I make that... I'm not talking about anybody in Watertown. You can either take it or leave it.
So yeah, he wasn't having anything about talking about Watertown. He didn't want to discuss it. He definitely gets pretty agitated about that shit.
Do you ever think that maybe that... Those were his first ones, the ones he regrets doing?
I don't know. I think he was embarrassed by it because they were kids.
Yeah, because they were kids.
That's the one he regrets doing.
And at the same time,
I don't know.
At the same time, maybe he's, like you said, I guess regret, but ashamed. Dude.
Ashamed. Yeah. Especially if he knows he's going inside because he knows.
You know, he knows, like, kid killers.
It's bad enough that he was killing women, but kids is even worse, you know.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
Right. So it's hard to say, but good point, Michael. You know, hard to know what his motivation was there, but nonetheless, he wasn't having it. And he told this interviewer, like, I'm not talking about it. Guy brings it up at the end. He just takes his mic off, the lapel mic, and just drops it and fucking walks off.
Like, what was his name? The dude the dude in April's interview talking about fucking the mentors and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Alan Wrench. He's like, done. Alan,
yeah. Yeah, very similar to that. So there's clips of it on YouTube. You can watch this if you want to check that out, because it's very disturbing to see this stuff. Now, in November of 1990, he's tried on 10 of the murders in Monroe County, and at his advice of his lawyers, he pled guilty by reason of insanity. Most of the experts claimed he was making this stuff up to sound insane.
A lot of the Vietnam shit.
The Vietnam stuff, big time. He was found guilty, sentenced to the max, 250 years, so he's not going anywhere.
Dude, I got another 150 after that, so sucks to be him.
Yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, it sucked.
Now, he's tried for an 11th victim in another county, which he pled guilty of. He was sent to Sullivan Prison, where he would stay until he died in 2008. He claimed he had leg pain that morning and was taken to a medical center, where he died the same day of heart failure. So he's been gone now 11 years, so...
Well,
it took
too long for him to die.
Big time. He did get visits in prison later in his prison life by a woman who said that she was his daughter, legit. And so she became very close with him and visited him regularly, her kids. He was like corresponding with grandpa and the whole grandpa thing. So very That's strange.
Fucking odd. Yeah. No, I ain't going to lie. If it was some shit like Hirons in Chicago, where I'd be like, yeah, let's go. But I knew that my kid's grandfather legit did some sadistic, fucked up shit like that.
Yeah,
I'm like, no, you don't.
I know
you're good.
I know. I was shocked too, because I couldn't imagine bringing kids into that environment.
Not at all.
No. Now the research for this part of the episode was done with a few documentaries, as we talked about on YouTube. I also just recently read the book Arthur Shawcross, The Genesee River Killer, by Dr. Joel Norris, who is actually an expert at the trial, spent quite a bit of time with him, and definitely had some interesting insights, which helped me put this all together. What about you, Chris? You watched some of the docs?
I watched a lot of docs. I watched, read not just Wikipedia, because Wikipedia ain't always right, but I read a lot of shit and listened to some different podcasts that gave me ideas of something to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm not copying another podcast.
No, but it's good to listen to what the others are doing and saying. I think it's cool. I do it a lot too. Next time we'll be featuring a more well-known serial killer, Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer. And you have a friend, is it, that is related?
I got a couple of friends that they're brothers. So they said they're related to fucking Gary Ridgway. Yeah. So
that should be interesting. If
I can maybe get one. Dude, what's fucked up is one of them I haven't seen in a minute. He just showed up at my house on Saturday. I'm like,
oh, that's crazy.
Where the fuck you come? Yeah, Jake. He showed up out of nowhere. I was like, motherfucker, what's up?
And he was hanging out yesterday.
So, yeah, it's cool. So, I got some friends that are related to Ridgway, so it's cool.
Yeah, and he had a fucking staggering fucking body count of 71. Jesus. Right. And they think there was more, but that's what they know. He wasn't
very smart, neither.
He wasn't, and it's amazing he avoided capture for so long. So, an interesting tie-in with him and Bundy, which we'll talk about that. And so, that should be good. So I read a book about that whole tie-in. It's kind of interesting. Sounds like the train coming around the bend. Train. CK hey, getting Mike, ready.
You know what train we're talking about, right?
Throw down some metal knowledge. The 920. The 920 out of Danbury. So what do you think we need to get going here, Michael?
Play some metal.
Fuck yeah. Get our metal on. All right, we are in our metal segment here. We got CK calling in on Skype. CK, how are you doing over there?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. Fuck yeah, dude. No More Room in Hell. Some new Possessed after a little hiatus.
Killer coming out in May on Nuclear Blast. It sounds like just like classic Possessed, so it should be a good album.
Yeah, big time, big time. Well, we always enjoy having you on. We always love hearing some good metal knowledge. Now, this week, we had a little change because we were going to do the top five thrash albums of each of us, but we had some things going on where we got to move that segment. And just to keep the torch going, I thought it would be fun to do one of my favorite, relatively obscure bands. And who is it that we're going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking about, to me, I think they were probably one of the first death metal bands from Britain, I think.
Bolt Thrower.
From Coventry, England. They've been around since 86. Formed by Gavin Ward, who up until they broke up was the only original member of the band. We started in 86, put out a succession of demo tapes, eventually got signed to a label called Vinyl Solutions in 88, put out a debut album, which is impossible to find these days. I've yet to even find it on CD or vinyl. So it's like impossible to find. Yeah. I mean, it was a very small label, Vinyl Solutions, and it was more or less a hardcore label. So it wasn't a very good fit for them, even though they had the death metal / a little bit of punk influence with them. They eventually signed to Earache Records for the second album. And little known fact is they're considered the best-selling Earache band on the label.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Which actually surprised me with, you had Morbid Angel, Napalm Death, and they're considered the highest selling band on the label.
Huh. That's cool.
Yeah. So they eventually signed Earache. They put out after In the Battlers No Law, the debut, they put out Realm of Chaos, Slaves of Darkness in 89, which was a pure death metal album, in my opinion. It's a killer album.
Bolt Thrower is just one of those fucking, they deliver every time, man. Every album is just kick ass. If you dig death metal, they're just, they never changed,
And they, I think they were the first death metal band to have a chick as a bass player.
Yeah, Joe Bench, man, she's badass.
Yeah, she's she was the girlfriend of
Gavin
right? Ward. So he moved from bass to guitars, and she took over on bass. So
nice. She plays a BC maybe Rich Ironbird too, which is a cool looking bass. Really cool.
But then in 91, they put out War Master, which is another great album. In 92, they put out an album called The Fourth Crusade, which is a little bit of a departure. They incorporated a little bit more doom metal stuff into it.
Right.
But still had the death metal sound. And all through this time, they've had like multiple members. I mean, there's just too many to mention. Like I said, Gavin Ward's the only original member from the beginning, and Joe Bench, I think, was after that, was the only one after 87 who was the original, was still with them. So they were still on Earache at this time, and 94 they put out For Victory. 98, Mercenary. 2001, Honor, Valor, Pride. Then finally in 2005, they put out Those Ones Loyal. I believe that was the album that was on Metal Blade.
Yes.
Shocker.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Which was their last album. Unfortunately, they didn't put out anything else after that other than a couple of compilations here or there. they were still a band, and they really didn't break up until their recent drummer, what was his name? Christ. And Martin Kearns.
Right.
He unexpectedly died in 2015.
Yeah, that was weird.
He was only 38 years. Unexpected. Yeah. He was only 38, and I can't find a cause or a reason why he died. I have no clue. Nothing is mentioned about it other than he died unexpectedly. So.
Yeah, and then they split up right after that, right? They just said they weren't going to go on.
Yeah, then after a year, they said, they weren't going to go on without him and split. That was 2016, so, we'll see. These things happen. A lot of times these bands come back after, a certain anniversary, and hopefully they'll put out, realize, let's get back and start to kick some ass again, and, I hope they come back and record another album, because they're just a killer band. Like I said, the first British band other than maybe Benediction to play death metal. So I don't really remember too many British bands back then.
Right.
Other than, you don't consider Napalm Death death metal. They're actually the godfathers of grindcore. But, as far as 100% just death metal band, ever one of the first in Great Britain I don't remember.
Yeah, now one thing that people might be interested to know, because I was curious when I started really jamming these guys, is what the fuck, where'd they come up with the name Bolt Thrower? And it's a game. It's like a, I don't know what game it is, like a board game with like weapons, and there's a bolt thrower is like a weapon in this game, and they just thought it was cool. Yeah. So it's kind of a funny random fact. And then another random fact, CK, I'm not sure if you're aware, but, and I don't know if it's on every album, but they've done this on a bunch where they
the same riff or the same kind of song with different lyrics.
The music is the same, but they change the words and lyrics, and it's on every album.
Yeah.
And the one we're going to play after this metal segment, Kill Chain, is on Those Once Loyal. And it's the song on that album. But the way they do it is they fade into it and fade out of it. So, like, live, they'll do, like, a compilation of a few of them, and they do it all as one. It's kind of a cool, very unique type of thing, I always thought that was kind of funny, really.
I wonder if they did it as a joke or they wanted to see if people really picked up on it.
I don't know. I wondered the same thing, like, is it like, how did that come to be? Is it just kind of, right. Yeah. So it's kind of a funny little thing about Bolt Thrower, but yeah, they're definitely more obscure to maybe the run of the mill fan, but anybody into old school death metal obviously knows all about Bolt Thrower. So.
Yeah. And again, an Eric Records band and eventually a Metal Blade. So, and again, it's surprising that they were the top selling band for Eric for a while, so shit.
Yeah, that's really cool. Now, CK, do you have time to stick around, or do you got to go?
I got a couple minutes.
Okay, because I was going to say we could do the rest of the metal segment with you if you want to stick around.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So, obviously, just went to the Queensryche Fates Warning show last week. Oh, it was so amazing. CK, I know I sent you some pictures while I was there.
Yeah, I know. I was foaming at the fucking mouth.
Yeah, we had really cool like seating, which normally at a metal show there is no seating, but we got to sit down, which was nice because of my foot being a pain in the ass. And so the club was really awesome about that. But what was cool, we pulled in, and the parking lot attendants weren't there yet because we were early. And we saw the tour buses there. So Joey, my son, pulls up near the buses. And I'm like, well, they're probably not going to let us park here. But until somebody shows up, whatever. Yeah, so we're sitting in Joey's car, and I see fucking Bones walk by. Joe DeBias. I'm like, Bones? And he's like, whoa, that's fucking crazy, And he's like, I didn't even know if I'd get to see you here, And here you are, like, just here, like, just show up. So it was pretty funny. So we got out and hung out with Joe for a while, and then he had to go sound check. But yeah, he said the Queensryche guys have been awesome. He was saying that every night Todd Latore from Queensryche stands on the side stage and watches Fate's Warning. Huge fan. It was a huge reason why they're even on the tour at all. And he said they couldn't be nicer. But the whole band was fucking sick, he said. Eddie Jackson from Queensryche was like puking sick. And yeah, the fucking way they played, you'd never fucking know that. They were killing it, man. It was unbelievable. It was just a great show. So anybody out there listening, if they're coming to your town, man, you definitely want to go check that show out. It was really good because there's more dates on the tour. So it was really good.
Yeah, I was jealous.
I know. Now, that new Misery Index that just came out, holy shit, Rituals of Power, it's fucking sick. Oh, my God. Oh, I know. And Adam fucking Jarvis just shreds on the fucking drums, and this album is just nuts. He's a Central Illinois guy, as we've probably mentioned before, but he's just brutal, man. He's really, really good. And they got a European tour coming up, and I'm sure they'll be here in the U.S., so definitely keep your eyes open for that and pick up that Rituals of Power album. And then, CK, you mentioned Possessed, new Possessed coming out in May on Nuclear Blast.
Yeah, I think it's May 20th, I think you're right.
Yeah, No More Room in Hell is the name. Cover looks fucking sick. And we played that little sample before you came on, and hopefully people – we'll dig that and go check those guys out. And then
and there's I know there's a band out of Cleveland, Ohio coming out with a new album, hardcore metalcore album, band called Ringworm.
Okay. Oh, they are? God damn. So I can relentless.
Everybody's going to be there.
I guess. Now, we've got a fest coming up here, Joey Cashman's Fest. We've been mentioning it, but we want to keep plugging it. Heart of Illinois 5, Field of Screams coming Saturday, April 13th. And, Chris, you've been to this before. I think every one of them, but... Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and it's going to be in Colfax, Illinois, which is where we did Bloodshed in the Country in September. 15 bands, man. It's going to be a hell of a lineup. Murder Complex, Menstrual Munchies, Necro Cannibal Ass Grinder, Cunt Torch, Crotch Ripper, fucking Aborning. I mean, it's going to be just brutal. So it's going to be a good time. Of course, we'll be there doing our thing, and we'll have a booth. And we got a new table set up that's going to be just fucking crazy when you guys see it. Jenny's been working on it nonstop, and it looks really good. And so we'll unveil that at the Heart of Illinois Fest. So definitely come check that out, and you guys can go on Facebook and follow it, the event. And it's only a $5 cover, and BYOB, I mean, goddamn.
Can't beat that.
No, that's like a sore dick, man. You can't beat it, you know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a really, really good time. So no excuse not to come to that one. CK, we always appreciate you calling in. I know you had a tight schedule today, so... It's all right. We roll the fuck on. So
we work with it. It's okay.
That's right. So CK, have a good day, and we'll talk to you next week, brother.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
All right, man. See ya.
Looking to step up your home protection game? Well, we've got just what you need with Father's Day right around the corner. DC Sniper Home Protection. We put the fun back in the shooting and intruder who dare fucks with your shit.
So what is your Father's Day special?
Thanks for asking. With Father's Day specials, you get a $79.95 3-day rental on a blue Caprice. with our patent hole bored out in the trunk for excellent lanes of fire. A Bushmaster rifle with 10 rounds filled with ammo? Why wait for the bastard to break in? Just gun his ass down on your front lawn.
I'm not sure if my neighbors would appreciate that.
Your neighbors won't matter if you blow their asses away too. Pick up a 2-pack of our special handmade Claymore mines, and don't wait for the 4th of July to shower your noisy neighbors with thousands of fragments of white hot shrapnel. That'll teach them to keep to themselves. Go to BlueCapriceFun.com and order one of those specials for your dad or your husband today.
Little DC Sniper home protection, man. How about that?
The best commercial ever. Good job, Michael.
Yeah,
thank
Michael.
You. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You did a good job. We still got Michael here with us. Now, if you didn't notice in the metal segment, what the fuck? We pre-taped, as we said, the CK call and
something
weird audio shit. Weird. So we apologize for that. Chris, you're a little hard to hear there, and we
nobody
do apologize.
Nobody likes me, dude.
I know. I'm so sorry.
I fucking hate you.
So we debated what to do, and so we let it roll, and you know you guys just do we do it real. We hardly edit the show at all, so
and honestly,
we don't want to start now.
I've listened to Bolt Thrower, and they're fucking awesome. They're a fucking great fucking band, but I didn't know a lot about them, so I was more like on the listening side. And
right.
And then we plugged fucking Cashman's show, fucking Pornfield, or not Pornfields, that's Sean, sorry.
Heart of Illinois.
Heart of Illinois, yeah.
Field of Screams.
Yeah, it's going to be badass. That's going to be so sick. So, Michael, we got you here because you had some stuff you wanted to do.
Hold on, first things first. This is Mayhem and I'm here. I haven't been here in a long time. Chris, crack that bottle.
So now Michael, my brother, he decided he's going to bring this bottle of Knob Creek Rye 100 proof. So,
oh, fuck.
Now me and my brother are going to do a shot of whiskey because y'all remember what happened last time I drank whiskey,
right? I was
going
to say, hold that like, up, man. Not that we're doing a commercial like for fucking, Knob Creek. But
no, know, but we're going to
maybe
get
they'll like us. They'll want to sponsor the show. Or that would be dangerous, though.
Yeah, so me and Michael are going to do a shot of this Knob Creek before the podcast.
All right. So these guys are taking a swig of some Knob Creek 100 proof.
And it's so fucking smooth, man.
All right. Well, there we go. We got the Shawbacks doing it, Shawback style with some whiskey drinking. I'm in for it now with the two of them here. Now, Michael, you claim you got a good story to tell. We're in Mayhem, and that's when this shit goes down. So go ahead, buddy.
So this is basically about my experiences working at the strip club in Kappa.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome. He worked at a strip bar.
So back in 2006.
He was dancing too.
Was he?
Yeah, he was dancing too.
I did make money on stage, but I don't dance.
Or he was the guy giving hand jobs out in the parking lot.
Yeah, he's
giving when you were running low on funds, it was always Michael to jack you off.
So I started working there just on a whim. I decided one day I was going to put an application out there for security. I did security for Bob's Lounge back in the day. I did some for the DoubleTree Hotel when I worked there way back in the day.
Right.
So I decided I'm going to go out here. Somebody told me they were hiring. I was like, fuck it, why not?
Fucking might as well put it up, man.
Go see some titties and get paid for it.
How fucking can that be wrong?
So
dude?
I went out there. I put in an application. I got a call. I ended up start working there. So one thing that happened. I'm working that door, so I'm taking everybody's cards, checking them against the band list, taking the money, all that shit. This one dude, at the end of the night, we're kicking everybody out. It's 4 o'clock in the damn morning. Everybody's ready, tired to go home. And this guy's trying to tell me, no, the dude over here said I could stay. I'm trying to get him out the door. He's one of the last people out.
You can't be here, dude.
He's like, dude, you cannot be here, man. He's like, no, that dude over there said I could stay all night. He said I could stay after. I'm like,
did you tell him he was pointing at a tree?
I was like, what dude are you talking about? He's like, the dude that was taking money tonight. I'm like, you're talking about the dude that was behind that booth right there taking money all night. Checking IDs. He's like, yeah, he said okay. I was like, no, motherfucker, that was me. That was me. I had never said that. Get the fuck out of here.
That's fucking good, dude.
That's pretty good.
I mean, most of these are little short things like that, but at the time, I was not allowed to just remove the man because I really, really wanted to because he was annoying the shit out of me.
Get the fuck out of here.
So I ended up having to go get a manager or whatever. They told him to get the fuck out, which I should have done to begin with. Well, I did tell him. But
he didn't listen.
Now, another story. So again, I'm working the door. I happen to see an ID. They had a band list at the time. I don't know how it is these days. It's been 12 years, 13 years since
maybe they're not
there.
Banned anymore.
Yeah, maybe they're not.
They're allowed back they in had this, movies now.
They had this list up there of all the names of people who were not allowed in there. So as I'm looking at this dude's ID, I check it against that. I see this guy's name. He's like, no. You can't come in here, dude. You're on the bed. He's like, no, fuck that. I was like, dude, you cannot come in. I'm not letting you in. He's like, go get your fucking manager. I'm like, all right. I went and got my manager. Manager looks at him, looks at the name. He's like, no, get the fuck out of here. I'm like, he ends up leaving. But about 20 minutes later, one of the dancers comes up to me. She's like, thank you. I'm like, for what? She's like, you didn't let that guy in. I'm like, okay, I was just doing my job.
Oh, is he fucking pervy?
Apparently, that's her ex-boyfriend that used to beat her.
Oh, Jesus. All
right. Yeah. All right.
This girl handed me $10 for doing my job.
I get to the
now, you weren't on the banned list, were you?
No, I mean, at the time,
Michael's the guy that wears the sweatpants into the fucking VIP room, damn. Man.
No.
Wow.
All right, one more before I get to the good one. One more before I get to the good one. This is pretty good, too, though. So, again, I'm working the door. This old man comes walking in. I have no idea who he is. He's got these two young hot girls with him. He tells me he's getting in free. You see these girls? He's getting in free. I'm like, no, you're not. Pay the money. $15 per person. Show me your IDs. I don't care who you are. They're like, no, we're not doing any of that. Go get your manager. I go get my manager.
Like, all right.
I go get my manager. It's like, he's going to tell you the same shit I just told you. No, he did not. He looked at the dude. He's like, come right in. Turns out, it's Big Al that owns Big Al's in Peoria.
Oh, yeah, you're
it turns
nice.
Out it's Big Al that, so I had no idea who the man was.
Right.
He comes back, he looks at me, he's like, you know what? That's the type of people I want at my door.
Exactly,
hands me
dude.
$20.
Perfect, nice. Man. Perfect. Nice. It's like, no, I don't care who you are.
Oh, I did, Chris, I did mention I did make money on stage.
Yeah.
So I got to say that before I get to the good one.
All right.
So...
I love, dude, Michael's got some stories, don't we?
All right, so every once in a while, just because it's a strip club, you got to clean the
stage.
It's
titty bar, man. It's
right.
Yeah, I bet you
gotta
clean
it
with
the
your
stage.
Tongue. What's your pussy taste like? What's
no,
her
you're
pussy
getting multiple, you're getting multiple ones in there.
I know, it's all like a fucking goulash of pussy.
But as I'm cleaning, because I got asked to clean the stage, like, hey, man, go ahead and go clean that stage. This is... After a certain girl danced, so the dude came up to me. He's like, dude, you need to go clean that stage now.
Oh, God, dude, when a dude says that, no, it needs to she's done. Man. How are you going to not be like, dude?
I wore gloves. On, man.
Like, go give me some gloves.
Yeah, I need a
fucking respirator.
Trust me. But as I'm cleaning the stage, I hear, yeah, Charlotte, clean that pole. I'm like, look down. I don't even know who it was, but a couple guys I went to high school with stared at there just like, fucking mocking me. I was like, oh, fuck you guys. And I started throwing dollar bills up there on stage. I was like, I'll take your fucking money. Hell yeah, thanks. Took their money, walked off fucking because I was done.
You didn't stick it in your underwear? Or anything?
No. I stuck it in the pocket of the,
all right.
of the shirt I had to wear.
You didn't smell all right. it?
No.
All right, cool.
It would have smelled like bleach and shit because, well, probably
that's
not
what
bleach.
I was using. Fucking acetone. Fuck.
All right, now, the one Chris is talking about. So I'm working one night, and at this time, I'm not even working the door. I was, because I had worked at Doubletree, worked in the kitchen for a while, every once in a while, they would have, when it was nice, they would have a cookout outside. So I'd be the one man in the grill. We had like hot dogs and burgers, pork chop sandwiches, no chicken, but it was all like cheap stuff. So I'm working out there. This dude comes up to me. He's like, hey, man, what's the best bet for the dollar around here? He's coming out of the bar. So he's probably, I'm thinking he's broke as fuck. He's trying to look for, I was like, to be honest, quarter pound hot dog, all beef hot dog, it's for $2, pretty fucking good. He's like, all right. I give it to him. He walks to his car as he's eating it. Then I notice he's walking into a red fucking Viper.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. Hot
a red Viper. Mind you, just so you know, preemptive, the cops had been there earlier that night. They just happen to randomly show up, just not
because it's a titty bar, at right? Whatever time you want to fuck with people,
yeah. And titty bar, they're just making sure everything's all right. But as he's getting into his car, he's finishing his hot dog. He fucking starts it up, revs it up, being fucking badass because it's a fucking Viper. And he pulls up right back up to the ride, up to my station. He's like, I need another one before I go.
Just roll his window down in the Viper, dude. I need another one, bro.
So this dude takes off. I worked the rest of the night. I just had to show that because dude was driving a fucking Viper. Yeah. The cheapest thing I had.
He's right. He was a drive-through window and
so
shit.
The night goes on, uneventful, whatever. I'm driving home. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. And as you get off of 39 coming from Kappa, going into Normal off the highway, there's these sheds off like to the right hand side. Storage units off to the right. As I'm coming around this curve, all of a sudden I see this fucking kid, heck, couldn't be more than 21 at best, come running out of the sheds, bleeding from his fucking head, naked as fuck. Dude. Naked as fuck.
Dude, how fucked up is that?
He's stopping. He's running in front of my truck that I'm driving. Obviously, I stopped.
It's like 4 o'clock in the morning, too.
No, it's 5. It's 5. Okay. We closed at 4.
Dude, it's 5. You see a naked, bleeding man running.
I'm like, wow. what the fuck? So I stopped the truck. Thankfully, I happened to have a bunch of fucking shit in my truck at the time, so I had this fucking dirty-ass fucking towel.
I wipe my ass with it once or twice.
I was like, dude, just cover it up. I'm fucking take you to the fucking hospital, I guess. I don't fucking know. As I'm getting ready to put this dude in my fucking truck to take him to the hospital, I see a cop roll coming off the exit, coming toward me. I'm like, hold on. So I'm flagging this cop down. Turns out it was one of the cops that actually rolled through Kappa earlier that night.
Nice.
I had talked to him already. I'm like, dude, I don't know what the fuck is going on. I'm just coming home. This kid comes running from these fucking shits.
I have his head out.
Bleeding from his fucking head. And they went and I was getting ready to take him to the hospital. He's like, no, we got it. He called backup or whatever, called an ambulance. I'm sitting there in my truck just like, what the fuck? He's like, don't go anywhere. So I sit in my truck for like fucking a half hour, 45 minutes. I see all my coworkers driving by me. I'm getting text messages like, what the fuck did you do? They see this kid. I'm like, I didn't do nothing. I'll explain later.
Wow.
But anyway, they tell me I witnessed a crime or whatever. To this day, I have no idea what this kid's name was.
What happened to him? Nothing.
Nothing. Wow. All I know is I'm thinking he did something.
I saw his dick and I'm pissed off about it.
He did something to somebody where they beat his ass and stripped him naked and threw him out. That's all right.
That's some mafia shit.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my mayhem story.
All right.
Fucking dead.
Well, that's pretty good stuff, man. Now, we had a little bit of fun these last couple of weeks fucking with you a bit. We've had this ongoing joke
Michael's
about
Disturbed. Michael's head is a little disturbed, dude.
And we played a good joke, Michael, on you with the CD. We laughed about that.
It was pretty funny. And the fact that Chris happened to be there when I actually opened it up. And he knew it was coming.
Right.
And I didn't realize what it was.
Yeah, he did. Honestly, I pulled that sheet of paper out. I looked at the Disturbed head fucking
logo. Did you know right away?
I was like, I looked at Chris like, I'm going to fucking stab that guy.
That
motherfucker.
Yeah.
He's like, who? Your fucking podcast host, co-host, son of a bitch.
Now, you have to admire at least the effort, dude, that went into that. I mean,
no, Pete.
I went all out, dude.
Fucking loved it. I fucking loved it. It was fucking fantastic.
And then you gave the CD back to me, the cum soaked CD.
I had help from my brother because I had to work.
I helped.
I was like, dude, you just got to leave it somewhere where he's going to see it.
So you see it's up on the wall
over
there.
Yes, I do.
That's a structure for the fucking Horns Eye Studios.
That's right.
Disturbed. We're repping the Zerg full of comb.
Pussy. I thought about a retaliation for you.
Yeah.
But he didn't do it.
I didn't
do
it.
He's got a good reason.
Honestly, I was going to sign you up for the fucking Kiss Army.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Oh, that would have been painful.
$50. I was like, just to fuck with Pete a little bit. I ain't going to be that. Then I was just going to sign you up for the email email list, which was free. But then they said they would source it out to other bullshit, so I ain't trying to
play. You're not trying to give your email out.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that. But the Kiss Army would have been painful.
Yeah, he had works in his head. He's telling me about it like, y'all want to do this? Like,
I don't know.
PB getting spam emails because of some joke I played.
Right. Yeah, that's. I didn't want to do that.
I appreciate that. No, that's funny. But yeah, we have good fun fucking with each other about shit. So it's all good stuff. And it's just a good time to, you know.
Start a fight?
Yeah, just, you know, have a good time. And, of course, I said I was going to stop tagging him and Disturbed.
Oh, no.
Facebook. So now it's Five Finger Death.
So now I'll move on to Five Finger Death Punch,
of course.
Or something else. Yeah.
Just wait. I do have something in mind for your ass, though.
I will fuck you up, dude.
I do have something in mind for your ass.
All right. Well,
we
do.
Get into a fight?
Well, we do have a fight coming up.
That's what I'm saying. You ready to get into a fight?
I think so. Killer cage match. We got this week featuring Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh and the Australian killer David Birney. Some of you may not know David Birney, B-I-R-N-I-E, and you can Google him. He's pretty fucking disturbing. He's an Australian. That's right. Now, this week, thanks to listeners Angela Porter, Bays, and Eric McIntosh for providing the random numbers, and D.D. Dale Barry for the random variable number. We started that whole thing last week.
I like
week.
The variable, dude. Hey, Michael.
Yo.
You've heard the past couple ones. What do you think of the variable?
I mean, I think everybody had it right with the last week with the Wasp. I think I said that earlier.
Yeah.
Because the Wasps were killing it. Well, we had, them, I mean.
To again, back up to last week, we had the Snapping Turtle the week before. And we thought
and that
was funny.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
And well, the Snapping Turtle
was one of the objects.
Snapping Turtle was one of the objects. Snapping Turtle helped somebody.
So this time, the Snapping Turtle inspired the variable, which last week was the Wasps. This week, we've got our objects are the crown of barbed wire and a pair of needle-nose pliers, which could get nasty if you're up close.
Man.
That could get pretty fucking...
I got a piercing or two. Needle-nose pliers suck.
Yeah, or you could, you know, use them to stab with. I mean, it could be pretty nasty.
Take an eye out.
Totally.
Real fast.
Now, what's the variable this time, dude?
This week for a variable, it's kind of like the same as the fucking Hornets, man. You got a horde of rats...
Yeah, sewer rats, too. Nasty, like, diseased fucking
vermin.
Rats. Yeah, and that's fucked up. So what do you guys think, Michael? What
What's
do you think?
What's your thoughts on this, Michael?
You got Timothy McVeigh, who's 6'3", and David Birney is 6'. They're both about average build.
Right.
McVeigh, of course, was in the military. I'm not sure what Bernie's background was.
So what were the weapons given? The needle-nose pliers?
Crown of barbed wire.
And a crown of barbed wire.
And then variable
and then the rats.
The rats, yeah.
What do you got, dude?
I want to say the rats, but I think McVeigh. I think McVeigh's killing him. He may get fucking killed by the rats.
See, that's what I'm thinking, too, is that McVeigh can take Bernie, but the rats
McVeigh would totally take Bernie. But
I believe the rats will probably take McVeigh.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm wondering,
what's
too.
What's just one of them?
I mean, there's a whole bunch of them, because,
like, who knows? They could be, like, in the fight already, dude. Like, they're going to town.
Yeah.
like they're going to town in the middle of a sewer tunnel. I don't know why they're in the sewer tunnel, but it's fun.
it seems like a place where
but
pack
McVeigh and Bernie, they're in the fucking tunnel. Like,
yeah.
Maybe they're trying to find the fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Who fucking knows why they're down there?
Well, Splinter sent them or something.
Yeah, Splinter's a fucking rat.
The Rat King sent them. The Rat King.
They're down there and they're fucking fighting. I think McVeigh whoops the shit out of Bernie.
Oh, right. Easily.
And then he's like walking away and then all of a sudden here comes this horde of rats.
Yeah, fucking... And takes him down, fucking eats him up.
Now, I'm going with the fuck, goddamn.
I don't know.
I take that back. McVeigh's going to leave a bomb back at the back, and he's going to get ahead of the rats. Oh. The rats are going to be coming. He's going to be like, yep, click. McVeigh wins this battle.
And the rest of the ones he uses the fucking barbed wire.
Boom. The barbed wire is just like a net. To trap the fucking rats back after he fucking kills Bernie. Yes.
All right. Well,
I'm going with McVeigh.
Yeah, I'm going with McVeigh, too. Yeah. I think McVeigh's going to win here. Yeah. So I think all three of us are in agreement. Now, we mentioned that we did that interview with the guys from Big Bad Hogs Barbecue, and that we're going to do the whole thing. That'll be this week. Actually, I've got it set for Friday to be a bonus episode where you can hear the whole interview we did with them. Yeah, but now we're going to play about an 8 or 9 minute clip of it, and so you guys can check that out. These guys are great local company, friends of ours. They do catering, and they're doing.
Willing, they'll cook and ship for you.
Yeah, these guys are great. We hired them to cater the 50th episode, which we're actually going to be recording this Saturday.
Hell yeah.
The 23rd. We got two bands. We got Event of Collapse and Chalk.
Which Big Mike is the drummer for Event of Collapse.
That's right. And he's part of the Big Hogs crew. So it's going to be awesome. We're going to have a great time. And that episode will be the first week of April. So you guys will get to hear it. But it's going to be different than a normal episode. It's going to have band members in here.
It's going to be odd.
It's going to be a lot of mayhem.
I don't want to say it's going to be a lot of fucking mayhem.
Yeah. There should be some good stories to be told here. So it should be a lot of fun. I can't wait to fuck with Meister. I'm actually looking forward to it because it's been a while.
I was going to say,
I can't wait since I've had Meister around.
So I'm going to have a good little
bit
of fun with him.
All you got to do is look at him and say, hey. Hi, Meister. He's gonna be like, "What'd you call me?"
All right, so here's the clip of the interview, and we'll see you guys on the other side. So,
now, you guys were hired to come to the 50th Murder Metal Mayhem podcast we're going to be doing later this month, which is awesome.
Yep.
So, what's that going to be like? We got two live bands playing, and of course, Big Mike, you're in one of the two live bands, Event of Collapse.
Pulling double duty that day.
You're going to be playing, and then you're going to be cooking, and it's going to be a good time. So,
good time.
Why don't you?
So, yeah, we're excited to be a part of that. Pete asked us to cook, and then he's going to do some filming. My band, Event of Collapse, got to do a couple songs. Chalk is going to do a couple songs that day as well. So, and then we're all going to just hang out and eat and have a good time.
Yeah, it should be really
hopefully
good.
Be warm by then.
I know. That's what I was thinking too. Looking at this fucking snow, like, seriously.
It's snowing right now.
You got
so.
2 weeks to get your shit straight because I'm not dealing with that.
Come on, Mother Nature, you bipolar bitch.
I know. Because the 50th is the first week of April, and I wanted to do it a couple of weeks out so I had a chance to kind of put all it together because it's going to be quite the task with the live shit, and we're doing an actual podcast that day as well. Okay. So it's going to be the whole thing in one shot, and then we'll have stuff with you guys doing your thing, and we'll just put it all together, video and audio, the whole thing.
Awesome.
Nice.
So it's going to be really cool.
It's probably going to be one of the longest ones to listen
to.
Oh,
I guarantee you.
That day.
Yeah, the record is, I think, 2 hours and 12 minutes, so I'm pretty sure we'll shatter that pretty well.
Good deal. Well, we'll break another record for
you.
Yeah,
that's going to be awesome. It's going
to
be awesome.
Glad to be a part of it.
So how could people get a hold of you guys? I mean, I know you're on Facebook.
Right now we're just on Facebook. We do not have a website. It's www.facebook.com/BigBadHogs. And that's spelled H-A-G-S.
H-A-W-G-S.
H-A-W-G-S.
Yeah, we'll link to the we'll link to these guys in the episode description. But yeah, if you go to Facebook and just type in Big Bad Hogs BBQ, it comes
right
up.
It should pop
right
up, yeah.
It'll be easy to find for you.
Yeah, we're still looking for a dedicated kitchen. So we've been renting and borrowing kitchens throughout our existence. So it's very limited what we are able to do, but if we can make something happen for whatever you guys need, we will definitely strive and come far and be of above your expectations. You won't be disappointed.
No, you guys did a great job at Joey's wedding, and there was a, I don't know, 50, 75 people there, so that was
a good-sized event.
So, I mean, you guys handled that very well. And my sister was there, who's a chef,
and she was all about it.
So that was really cool, you know.
Yeah, thanks for the compliments, by the way. I appreciate that. She was lovely.
Yeah, she always hates, like, when people, like, when we go to eat and somebody will say, you know, she's a chef, she's here, and she's like, no, I just want to eat. Like, I don't want people to think
I'm just
like
a regular person
here to critique what they're doing. I'm just here eating, you know.
So, but she was the one that said, wow, this is really good. And then I introduced you guys. So that was
cool. That means a lot to all of us.
Yeah, no, she's really good at what she does. And she's been in a lot of competitions for the culinary school.
And you can thank Polly for some of this stuff, too, because like he's helped facilitate.
And I understand where she comes from because I spent almost 21 years pretty much in it. I started out at Crestwick Country Club here in Bloomington, which you know that's a private club.
Yes.
And I was the sous chef there for 8 years, and half the time the other chef was out running around playing golf, so I was pretty much running the kitchen. We're doing 400 or 500 people weddings, right. You know, at the time, plus doing all our fine dining and golfers coming in, you know. I mean, right. Like, that's the nice thing about me being in with this and us trying to build numbers when we do catering stuff. Like, a guy I'm actually training at work, he and his fiance came to us yesterday, and they're looking at somewhere around about 200 people our next event, which we're hoping, you know, that'd probably be one of the biggest ones we've done besides a VIP party that we did for Brantley Gilbert, a country music star that came to Bloomington, which that turned out well, too, for
us. That's awesome. Yeah, that was a good one.
So things are building, you know.
That's great.
Good things take time, they say. Yes. You know?
Well, no, that's awesome, and definitely we love it, or we wouldn't have had you guys come to do our party here.
So. Rent kitchens, please contact us, because we would like to rent space. A permanent space, because it becomes a headache when you got to search for friends. I do want to give a shout out to El Portone for letting us borrow some of their space on occasion.
That's cool.
And a couple of the other event places, the Eagles. I'm drawing a blank right now. There's a couple places that allowed us to come and cook on their property and make everything happen. So that's we're cool. Not stepping on anybody's toes or pissing the fucking health department off.
Right.
Yeah,
that's cool. Is there anything you guys want to add about anything you're up to or anything coming up?
I got nothing.
Yeah. Competitions this summer. We got what, three that we're thinking about doing?
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
Well, keep us posted because we'll share it on Environmental Mayhem.
We're sharing. Come visit us. Hell, you come down to camp with us because, like, all these competitions, you know, some of them have car shows. Some of them have little carnival stuff. Some of them have
antique
stuff, craft stuff. So it's not just barbecue a lot of the time. So there's always something extra for everybody else. And if you stop by and say, hey, man, I heard about you, we will give you some free barbecue. Because we can't sell it to you. But we'll make you taste it fresh right off the grill.
Right off
the smoker.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for coming in, guys. Yeah, and we look forward to the party.
Thank you.
Here in a couple weeks where you guys are going to cook up some food. So
yeah, we'll be excited.
Awesome.
I'm ready for some mayhem stories, too.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Thanks.
Fucking live horror demise, man.
Hell yeah, from Texas, man. They're going to be at the great Heart of Illinois Field of Scream show.
Field of Screams. Hey, Michael. Man.
I know these guys be talking about it constantly, but just so you know.
Saturday, April 13th.
Been to every single one of these shows that Joey puts on. You gotta fucking go.
You gotta go, man.
For the price and for the camaraderie. $5. Just for everything.
Come on now. It's like 15 fucking bands.
I like the way you said just for the camaraderie because everybody loves everybody. Right. They're about the music, man.
It's about the music. You have a good time.
Yeah.
Every time I've ever been there.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Of course, Murder Metal Mayhem will be there with a booth. Yes. And we're going to be doing some between the band stuff. And we'll be doing some silly shit, I'm sure, some Killer
Cage
match. We're going to
probably be doing something stupid.
Yeah. I thought about doing some contests where we give away some, like, lube and, like, stuff like that. You know, just get kind of crazy.
I'm going to do some Shawcross shit, and I'm going to cut vaginas off and give them away.
Oh, okay.
He didn't give them away. He ate them.
That's right. He just chewed on them.
If you get them.
That's another class to eating pussy.
It was great to have Michael in here with us tonight.
It's been great to be here, Pete.
Fuck yeah, dude. Bumper music this time, Bolt Thrower, Possessed, Misery Index, and Horrid Demise. Thanks again to the sponsor for this podcast, DC Snipers Home Protection.
Yes, DC Snipers will take care of all your problems if your wife's trying to take your kid away.
No, I think they're more geared toward intruders coming in the home.
Oh. Oh, sorry.
So thanks to all of you listening out there. You guys continue to kick ass. Chris, you want to read the first one there? We got a couple of comments here.
I don't know what the fuck you motherfuckers are about your names or whatever, but I love them. I love them.
Some good ones.
I love them. So the first one, Hemma Yo Mama, says, I really love when you guys do the funny commercials. The Dr. Ging one you did was fucking epic. Well, we do it randomly. It's fun.
Yeah.
And we like to do it. And we get like to get people like my brother to come in and do shit like that. It's fun.
I enjoy it helping out.
Yeah, I'm going to try to write a few for Saturday when we have all the bands out here.
Yeah. Be so good thank stuff. You. Yeah, yeah. Keep checking it out because we'll have more.
Yeah. Sally Gillis said, I thought the podcast on the chessboard killer was interesting. I've never heard of him before. Will you do one on Chikatilo at some point? I'm sure the Red Ripper will be on the show at some point, right? The
Butcher of Rostov.
Butcher of Rostov, definitely. Michael's going to read. You going to read one? Gary?
So Gary Norris commented, the Goremonger and Gray video was great. I hope you do more shit like that. And obviously, they were already talking about it.
Fucking it, yeah. Dude. You tell them what's up, Michael. We're going to get them in here this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And then, Mike, why don't you read the last one, dude?
Alrighty, so nice name. Grandma's Droopy Titties commented.
Gotta love the people that listen to this fucking show. Right. Grandma's Droopy Titties
Droopy Titties. Is it true that you guys are going to be at the Dark History and Horror Convention again this year? I saw you last year and it was cool to meet both of you. I believe they will be, actually.
We are. We're a sponsor.
We're
the first sponsor.
We're 100% going to be there.
We're going to be there. We're good. We'll be front Brian and center Ward, in that bitch. Brian Ward,
dude, check it out.
Yeah, Brian Ward is the shit.
Like, check him out. Like,
he does a nice job putting this thing together. He works really hard at it. Dark History and Horror Convention, Facebook.
It's so search awesome. That.
You'll find the event. You can fucking... say you're interested.
It's a new venue this year.
New venue, downtown Champaign.
A better venue, downtown, exactly. Yeah,
improvements, big time. It's going to be really cool. So looking forward to it. I saw John Borowski is confirmed
for this one, too. Again.
So nice. Borowski will be there. That'll be awesome.
Fuck yeah. So yes, Dark History and Horror Convention. We will be there.
Yeah, we'll be there. And it's in October this year, too. So check the dates, but it's the end of October. I think the week before Halloween. Don't forget to check out MurderMetalMayhem.com to pick up one of our shirts, koozies, or stickers. Also, go to Murder Metal Mayhem YouTube channel. Subscribe to us there so you know what's up.
Check it out because we're going to be after this. We don't have many videos, but check it out, dude.
Yeah, we've got a few. We got a couple of full podcasts. We got a funny commercial for the Brutal Vocal Academy.
Do we need to get my kids on that?
We do need to do that. We need to do a lot of shit on there. We're trying. We're putting new content up there.
Time sucks.
Yeah. It's just, you just run out of fucking minutes in the day. You can also go to PeteAltieri.com if you're interested in picking up one of my books. But we can't let them go without hearing another karaoke song. I was up to some no good in here the other day. Little hair metal.
1980s, man.
Little hair metal classic from way back.
And you only did this because you saw that shit they put out a new album. That's the only reason you did
it. I saw it on Facebook that they were putting out a new album, and I was like, give me a fucking break. So anyway, until next time, keep one foot in the gutter.
And keep pounding your fist in my own brother Michael's asshole.
Fuck you.
Yeah, I saw sparks fly from the corner of my eye, and when I turned, she was off at first sight. I said, please excuse me, I didn't get your name. Oh, it'd be a shame. not to see you again. And just when I thought she was coming to my door, she whispered sweet and brought me to the floor. She said, I'm only 17. I'll show you love like you've never seen. How? She's only 17. Daddy says she's too young, but she's old enough for me. Come to my place, we can talk it over. Oh, everything's going down in your head. She said, take it easy. I need some time to work it out to make you mine. And just when I thought she was coming to my door, she whispered sweet and brought me to the floor. She said, I'm only 17. You ain't seen love, ain't seen nothing like me. She's only 17. 17. Yeah! Work me overtime. Feels good. Dancing close to the borderline. She's a magic mountain. She's a leather glove. Oh, she's my soul. It must be fucking love. She's only 17. The girl, she gives me love like I've never seen. She's only 17. Daddy says she's too young, but she's old enough for me. She's everything I need. Daddy says she's too young, but she's old enough for me. Yeah, yeah.
Man.